Well, it's always a great to look out and see lots of obviously familiar faces, some unfamiliar faces as well. So if it's your first time here again, a very special welcome. And hopefully over these next few minutes, you'll understand just a little bit about what we believe as a church and what we believe about the God who made us. Now, when you have children, one of the most sort of natural consequences of that is that after a, you know, a few weeks, few months, even a few years, you slowly, without even realising it, become an expert in children's television. You don't know it's happening. You're just kind of going through life and everything's fine. But just you start humming a theme tune. You start recognising various characters. And I thought it would be good this morning just to put just a few of you to the test to see how many children's programmes you can recognise. Now, I know you're thinking, well, I don't watch CBeebies. I love it, personally. I don't watch CBeebies, but we've got some older ones to help you out. So what I'm going to ask you to do, please, is don't shout out the answer. Or as a couple of weeks ago when we had the book quiz, whisper the answer so loudly that everyone could hear it. Put your hand up if you think you know what the programme is. Here's number one. Okay, does anyone know? See, they're harder than the books. They're harder than the books. So the books are too easy. So I've gone for a challenge this time. Yes? It is Jamie and the Magic Torch. Did anyone know Jamie? Who watched Jamie and the Magic Torch here? So why were your hands not going up? They didn't want to admit it, obviously. Okay. What about this one? Oh, see, this is a challenge. See, I for a while thought I actually dreamt this programme because no one actually had ever heard of it. Stuart knows.
Chorlton and the Wheelies.
It is Chorlton and the Wheelies. So did no one watch this as a kid? Emma as well. We are, unsurprisingly, of a quite similar age. And so Chorlton and the Wheelies, it was a weird, weird programme. But yeah, for some reason, not a lot of people had ever really heard of it. What about this one? Anyone recognise that? Oh, a few more. Oh, go on, Richard, go on. Ivor the Engine. I expect the Welsh hands to go up straight away, though. We're not going for the... No? Okay. Okay, now what's that? What's that? Oh, come on. It's a little village up north. It's like, oh, look, there's another red van on there. What could that be? Yes. It is. Well done. It is Postman Pat. Yeah, you can't see him, but he's just there driving his van. A picture of Postman Pat would have been way too easy. I wasn't going to give you that. Anyone watch that in there? Can you recognise the faces there? Two people on the right. Go on there, Tom. Go on. It is, it's Biker Grove, that's right. Now, I didn't know Biker was an actual place until I went there on a field trip, geography field trip, when I was in, it was A-level geography field trip, and we had to leave really quickly because we got attacked by 9-year-old kids with rocks, and we had to get out of there fast. But Biker Grove, there you go, Anton Deck there. Now, getting a bit more up to date, one for the mums here. Apparently, it's very popular with the mums. Anyone know what this is? Obviously not that popular. Who is that? Same kind of some toy fruit. You just don't want to admit it, do you? I can see people that go, I know what that is, but they're not going to be that. This is Mr. Bloom's Nursery. Anyone watch Mr. Bloom? No? Okay, fine. Okay, anyone know what this one is? Oh, who's it? Go on, Natalie, what's it? Zingzillas, yes, a group of monkeys who play instruments. Anyway, and what's this one? Oh, everyone's excited by this one. Okay. Well, but what's the name of the programme, though? That is Mr. Tumble, but what's the name of the programme? Something Special. Wonderful word. Thank you very much. Now, that was the last one. We can discuss kids' programmes later on, and you can share your favourites. But for now, I'm just going to think then, Something Special. If you've ever seen Something Special, it is actually a wonderful programme. Because it's Justin Fletcher kind of pretending to be someone called Mr. Tumble. And on that programme, he will meet children with a variety of different disabilities sometimes, ability and disability, and they'll learn various things, and children also can watch that programme. And as they see that, they can actually see that actually for all children, whoever they may be, in fact, they are special. And that's what I really want us to be thinking about this morning, what it actually means to be special, what it means to actually be valued. And this is true of all children, and of course, by extension, hopefully also true of us as adults as well. Human beings are special. But why? Why do human beings matter? Why do children matter? Why are we important? Why are we valuable? Well, the Bible tells us this. It's our first verse we're going to be looking at this morning. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And there are two words there that are kind of repeated more than once. So there's created, which comes up three times there, and image, which is there twice. And the Bible says that God created people. God created people and he created them in his image. Not a physical image, but in terms of being able to reflect something of his character. Something of who he is, something of what God is like. And I believe that if you kind of look at people, you look at children, we actually see that. So though there is an idea that says, well, actually, you know, God didn't make us, and all we really are is kind of, you know, particularly intelligent animals and, you know, slightly less hairy monkeys and things like that. But actually the Bible says, no, that's not true. We have value in and of ourselves because God has created us and he has made us in his image. And we reflect some of the different characteristics of God. So when we look at human life and we look at ourselves, and we actually see, well, admit, we are more than animals. We're not the same as animals. I'll give me a few examples. Think about how creative people are and actually how creative children are, even from the youngest days. Now, I've got a nice little picture I'm just going to show you. And it's a picture that Amber doesn't know about this, or Matthew. But it's a picture that Pearl did, actually, just yesterday. Matthew's a Chelsea fan, best football club in the world, obviously, we know that. And but there was a bit of a catastrophe yesterday as John Terry scored an own goal, and Pearl captured that moment through the medium of art. There it is. But it all worked out in the end, and thankfully Chelsea went on to win 4-2, so we don't need to worry about that. But children naturally are creative. Right from the very youngest days, they'll start to make marks, they'll draw pictures, they will paint. Why? Where does that creativity come from? It comes because they are reflecting the character of a God who also creates and who takes pleasure in making things. People kind of say, well, look at the universe. Look how big the universe is. Can God really have created such an amazing universe just for people in this kind of like this tiny little planet? Well, God created the universe because he loves to create. He's a creative God. He takes pleasure in the things that he makes. That's what God is like. And we reflect something of that, not perfectly, but we reflect something of that. Or we think of other aspects of human experience. Think about love and relationships. Why is it that human beings have this desire to be in relationship with other people, to have friends, to form groups? Why? Because God is a God of relationship. How is it that we know, and how children even know from a very young age, the difference between right and wrong? They have an idea of what is good and what is bad. Because God is good. And God knows what it is to be good. And he then says, these are the things that are bad, what you shouldn't be doing. We reflect the character of God. Why? Because we are made in his image. When we are honest about ourselves, and we're honest about humanity, and we kind of compare ourselves maybe to, you know, to that animal kingdom out there, we are very, very different. We are very, very distinct. We are not just the same. Why? Because it's only human beings who are made in the image of God. And that is where we find our value. It's not about our achievements or how clever we are or how strong we are. Whoever we are, we can say, I am valued because I've been created by God and I've been made in his image. Now, you might rightly say, well, hold on a second. The problem is, though, we don't always seem to kind of reflect that image of God. So we're saying, okay, here is God, and God is good, but people aren't always good. God is loving, but people aren't always loving. If we're made in God's image, then why don't we look around us and we see a lot of happy people all the time, loving people all the time? Well, there's a very simple reason for that. Now, I think Paul kind of alluded to it a bit earlier on, but there's this big, obviously, the big discussion now, Scottish independence. Should Scotland be an independent country or not? I'm guessing in this room here, there's probably some people who've got different opinions on this. Scotland have given us many great things. They've given us, obviously, great sportsmen. Obviously, Andy Murray there. Obviously, he's not won anything recently, so they may as well be independent, mightn't they, actually? That's the only reason why we claim he's British, but, you know, he's not won anything, so anyway. So, he's very good as Andy Murray, or Chris Hoy, but he's retired, so, yeah, what's the point? Anyway, food, obviously, the culinary delights of Scotland, the battered Mars bar there, which is originally for Scotland, of course. Helps you work, rest, play, and die, all in one go. We've received, certainly over the last year, lots of great comic entertainment from Scotland as well. They've given us many things, shall we say. But the argument comes, doesn't it, in terms of, yeah, the Scottish independence. Actually, are they going to be better off alone? Are they going to be better off independent than actually as part of the United Kingdom? And so people have different ideas, and some say yes, some say no. But one of the things people say is, well, hold on a minute, why should these people down here in London be able to say what's best for us? How can they make decisions on our behalf? How can they know, you know, what our needs are? How can they really know us? How can they say, we believe this is best for you? And, of course, throughout history, we see many nations become independent because they wanted to govern themselves and make their own decisions, you know, make their own laws, make their own rules, and sometimes it's worked out well and sometimes it hasn't. But the reason why is we look around ourselves and look around in our world and we see actually people not reflecting the image of God is because what people have done is they've declared independence, in a sense, from God. They've basically said, God, we don't think you know what is best for us. We don't think, God, you really know the best way for us to live our lives. But actually, we do. Now, with this particular discussion, as I said, there's two kind of sides to the coin. There's two sides of the story, you know, different ideas. But the Bible says that because we've been created in the image of God, yes, he always does know what is best for us. He's our creator. He made us. He knows how we work on a physical level, on an emotional level, on a spiritual level. He does know what is best for us. And yet, for some reason, we have then said, actually, no, God, I don't want you in my life. I don't want you telling me, in a sense, what to do. I want to just kind of go my own way, make my own decisions, do things the way that I want to do them. And that's why when we look at the world around us, we see people not reflecting the image of their creator. Because we've actually said no to our creator and yes to ourselves. And that causes all kinds of problems in the world around us. But that verse that Paul read to us earlier on, from those verses in John, right in the middle there, he read this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." See, even though we've decided we want independence from God and we don't want him, nonetheless, the Bible says, this is from the New Testament, this is Jesus speaking, says, God, still, he so loved the world. It's not God putting up with the world. It's not God saying, well, I've made it now, so I better kind of, you know, get on with it. God so loved the world. Despite us saying no to him, still, he loves us. Despite us saying, I'm going to just go and do things my own way, and I'm going to spoil things and wreck things, God still loves us. And he still loves the world. And we thought at the beginning about thinking what it means to be special, what it means to be valued, and being valued because of being in the image of God, but being valued as well because God loves us so much. And it's very easy to kind of say those words, you know, God loves you. And people may sort of hear those words in lots of different forms or see it on bumper stickers and things like that and think, well, what does that really mean? What it means is this. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We've been singing about that all through the morning service. God so loved the world that he didn't just have like fuzzy feelings towards us and, you know, kind of soppy feelings towards us, but he sacrificially loves us. He was willing to give up his one and only son. Why? As we've just been singing, to die on a cross. That's how much God loves the world. And again, people kind of look at the world around and say, well, yeah, it doesn't really look like God loves it because there's so much, you know, bad stuff going on. We can't ignore the fact that there's wars and there's conflicts and people doing sometimes terrible, horrible things, supposedly in the name of God. Why does that happen? Why does that go on? And people try and kind of point the finger at God and kind of blame God and say, well, here's God saying he loves the world, and yet all this terrible stuff is happening, and it's happening in his name. Just want to put up a very quick bar graph for you that I came across online. It was a while ago now. And I'm not going to worry too much about the figures. But one of the things people often say about God is, you know, the thing about, you know, religion or faith or belief is it causes so many wars. It causes so much conflict. The bar graph basically has the right-hand whopping great huge one there is basically throughout human history how many wars have started for, in a sense, non-religious reasons or non-faith reasons, politics or whatever, or grabbing land. And then the two down the bottom there, one is non-Islamic religious wars and one is Islamic wars. And the idea being that actually the vast majority of conflict in human history is not being caused by people doing stuff in the name of God. It's people doing stuff in the name of humanity and doing stuff for their own reasons and their own purposes and living in independence from God and doing things their way. But again, despite all that, God still loves the world that he has created. I wonder how, in a sense, valued you feel this morning. We'll go through periods of life, I guess, and we don't feel particularly valued for whatever reason, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, or we don't feel maybe particularly special. But the Bible says you are. because you are a unique creation of God. And he loves you. And he loves you so sacrificially, he was willing to give his one and only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that you could be forgiven for all those, in a sense, feelings and desires of independence that you've had in your life, pushing against God and saying, I don't want to do it your way, I don't want to do it your way. And Jesus comes so that for all of those things, we can just be forgiven, they're dealt with. If we come and if we believe in him. And believe in him isn't just about believing he exists, but it has that sense of what it means to actually believe in somebody. So if you believe in a politician, for example, if you do that, I believe in Ed Miliband. That seems a weird thing to say, isn't it? I don't. But you know, you might say, if you're going to believe in a politician, you say, well, I believe they will do the things they say they're going to do. Well, they don't often do that either. You know, politician is a really bad example for that, isn't it? Isn't it? But why? Because people are not reliable. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. That's the one thing you can rely on about the unreliability of people. Yeah. People are not reliable. Yeah, people make mistakes. People get things wrong. But with Jesus, we can believe in him because he has now already completed the work that he came to do to forgive us. He died on the cross. That is historical fact. That's what he did. He rose again from the dead so that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that if we come and we put our belief in him, our trust in him, our faith in him, that we can be forgiven and, as the promise is there, shall not perish but have eternal life. Not eternal life down here, because let's be honest, no one would really probably want to live forever and ever down here with the world is as it is, but to have eternal life with him. Again, with the God who creates us, who has created us and knows what is best for us. Now that's amazing. And the Bible says we can receive that, and we receive it not through religion. We receive it not through being born into any particular family, or being born in a particular country. Paul made reference earlier to what we're doing here in this service was not making Pearl a Christian. Pearl wasn't born a Christian. We didn't make Pearl a Christian during this particular service. We can't do that. That is for her to do when she's older, when she decides, does she want to believe in Jesus? Does she want to put her faith in Jesus? Does she want to receive eternal life with God forever, enjoying all of his goodness? That's for Pearl to decide as she gets older. But it's also for each one of us to decide. It's very easy to kind of think about other people. But actually it's something that each one of us needs to think about. What do we think about that verse? Do you know how much God loves you, regardless of what you may have done? Regardless of how far away from him you may feel that you are, that God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. That's how much. That's the biggest love ever. And he did it so that you could receive eternal life. Never think you're not special. Never think you're not valuable. Never think you don't matter. Because you do. You matter to other people, of course you do. But also, so much more than that, you matter to God, because you are made in his image. Even if sometimes you don't reflect that, nonetheless, you are made in his image. And all the bad stuff, all the stuff that spoils that image, can be dealt with when you come and put your faith and trust in Jesus. I'm going to pray, and I'll also be on the door after the service. If you want to kind of come back and disagree or anything I've said or talk about it, then that would be great as well. But let's just come and pray now.